Today she's Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Dalet. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Five lines from the bottom. Darash Merema. Merema taught us Kunya. Kunya is a earthenware keli that is coated with tar. Bein Uchma, whether it's black. Bein Chivra, whether it's white. Bein Yeruka, whether it's greenish yellow. All these cases, Shari, the halacha is that it's mutter, even though it was used for storage. Ask the Gemara, Mishna comes with Pesach, but ask the Gemara that the halacha is when we speak about chametz on Pesach, the Baminem Merema, that there was a question asked of Merema, Haimana de Kunya, about earthenware kalim, Mao v'shtamish v'pesach, what's the halacha about earthenware kalim that were previously used for chametz? May they be used on Pesach. Yeruka, and the question was, Yeruka, if it's a green coating, there's no question, the mitzarfi ubali, that it has, that's the type of coating that is very absorbent. And since it's the type of coating that's very absorbent, it certainly has in it chametz. The Siri, and therefore cannot be used. It was used all year round for chametz. It can't be used on Pesach. Kiti Bailach, the question was, b'chivri v'ochmi, when they're a white coating or a black coating. Mai, what would be the halacha? And then the Gemara again repeats as we learned in our previous year. Ki yisbehu kartafuni, if there are any cracks in the keli, again, there's no question that it's osur. The vadi bali, through those cracks, there is absorption. Kita baylach, when do we have a question? The shi, when they're smooth. Mai, what is the halacha? Amalhu, and Reima told them, ani chazinalei, I saw these kalim, the midamaisi, the fact that I see that they expel moisture from the outside, the fact that I see that they expel moisture, it's clearly indication, the vadi bali, that they certainly absorbed chametz vasiri, and therefore it cannot be used on Pesach. My tama, and what is the reason that we can't kasher these kalim? We know that the halacha teaches us under many circumstances that we could kasher kalim. So why over here can't we just kasher is kalim? Ketara hida klicheres, says the Gemara, because the Torah teaches us when we speak about klicheres, shayna yotsu midei doif nail oilam, that absorption remains there forever. And since the absorption remains there forever, the halacha is that the kashering is not an option. And the reason we notice is when the Torah speaks about different types of vessels, the Torah says yitoher, yitoher meaning that we should have a method of kashering them. When the Torah speaks about klicheres, the Torah actually says yishoved, they should be broken after they have an absorption. And the reason the Torah says yishover, that they should be broken, is because what the Torah is actually teaching us is that there's no way of kashering them. And of course, as we learned in our previous year, there is potentially a way of kashering klicheres, and that's by putting the klicheres, as we discussed, back into the kiln and entirely starting from scratch. Says Tosfos, that isn't called kashering. Kashering means that you have the original keli, and then that original keli, you kasher whatever method of kashering is required. When you have a situation, explains Tosfos, that you're putting it back into the kiln, that's making a whole new keli. That's not panim chadoshes bo l'kan, Tosfos says, and therefore that's not called kashering. Similar explanation I saw from the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah say, when you put it back into the kiln, anything that's in it is completely burnt and dissolved, and therefore again that's not considered a situation of kashering. But ask the Gemara. We discussed at the end of our previous year, the halacha of a keli that was used for non-kosher wine, earthenware keli, and what is the halacha with those kelim? So now ask the Gemara, Mishna, in what way is this keli, Mishna, why is this keli different by Pesach for chametz, miyayin nesach, from what we discussed in our previous shiur, miyayin nesach, the darsh de marima that we discussed, kula mani de kunya, all types of klicheres that are coated shari. So we see that we're much more lenient when it comes to yayin. V'chitema, if you'll say the chametz deraisa, the chametz is an issur deraisa. That's why chazal were machmer. Whereas yayin nesach is issur derabbanan. Because we're not, as we keep on repeating, we're not referring here to a situation about wine that was used for avodah zarah. And since it was used, we're talking about the gzeres chazal that we've been discussing in our masechta of stam yenam. So therefore, the Gemara is saying the chametz is an issur deraisa, yayin nesach is issur derabbanan, and therefore that's why we're more lenient when it comes to stam yenam. But ask the Gemara, isn't there a rule the kol d'tikun rabbanan kein deraisa tikun, that whenever chazal institute a rule, they model it after din deraisa. So when we speak about a din deraisa, the halacha is that it's not acceptable. It should not be accept these type of kelim. It should not be acceptable for the rabbanan either. Rather, answers the Gemara, Zeh tashmisha b'chamin. When we speak about a keli used for chametz, it's used b'chamin, it's used in heat, and therefore it's a much stronger level of absorption. Zeh tashmisha b'tzoinen, and this is where it's used for cold, and there isn't that type of absorption. And therefore, indeed, says the Ritva, he says that if the keli of yai that was used for wine was for some reason used with hot wine, then the halacha would be not like we've been learning till now, and the halacha would actually be we would not be allowed to use that keli for stam yenam either. Says the Gemara of Kiva Ikla Leginzak. The Rekiva came to Ginzak. So our Gemara says the story we're learning now about Rabbi Kiva. But Rashi says that the proper girsa in our Gemara is actually not Rabbi Kiva. The proper girsa in our Gemara is Mar Ukva, because we're going to learn that the Gemara posed whoever we're speaking about a number of questions to, and it's difficult to understand that Rabbi Kiva would have not known the answer to any of the questions as we're going to learn. Moreover, he says that when the Gemara speaks about a story with a Tana, the Gemara typically uses the words Masa b'Rabbi Kiva. And here, it would have said it that way. The Tosfos says that the second proof that we just said is not a compelling proof. There are situations that the Gemara tells us episodes that happened with Rabbi Kiva, even though it doesn't use the words Masa Rekiva, which are the words that are typically used when speaking about a Tana. Barminei, they asked Rekiva the following question, Marukva, Misana L'shos A Misana L'shonas, which means if somebody took on a fast for a number of hours, is that considered Tainus or not? So the simplest way of understanding the Gemara, which is a very understandable situation, if somebody, for whatever reason, did not eat until Chatzos. But it wasn't because he meant that this day should be a fast day for him. He was, for whatever reason, he didn't eat the Chatzos. And then he sees it's already Chatzos, and he hasn't eaten, so he takes upon himself not to eat for the rest of the day. So is that considered a fast? Says the Gemara, Lehava b'yadei. He did not know the answer to the question. Then they asked him another question. Kakanim shalav de kachavim. Barrels made out of cheres that belong to the cheres to Nachri, asura matarim, what is the, and you take or get such a barrel, what is the status of that barrel? Asura matarim. And again, lehav b'yadei, he didn't know the answer. Next question. We know that in the preparation for the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Moshe Rabbeinu, during the Shiva Shimei Meluim, the 7 days of preparation, was the one that acted in the role of Kohen Gadol. And the question that was asked was, "B'mashimish Moshe kol Shiva Shimei Meluim?" What kind of garments did Moshe Rabbeinu wear all those 7 days? And again, lo havi b'yadei, he did not know the answer. Asr v'shaber medrasha. So they had all these questions, and they asked the question in the yeshiva. Amrin, they said, Hilchsa d'alach is masanan l'shaos, that as we said, that this is considered a valid tainus. So again, as I said, the pshat in our Gemara is that if somebody took on a tainus this way, it's considered a valid tainus. You could say a neinu. But the Rishonim have a question. They say that the Gemara Masechta the Tainus, that Yud Beis, Oman Aleph teaches us that if somebody did not take upon himself the Tainus the day before, unless it's a Tainus Sibur, it's not a valid Tainus. So, and the Gemara uses a very strong expression. It says somebody who fasts without accepting a Tainus is like Mapuach Malay Avir. It's like a balloon full of air. So, and there was no purpose in it. So how could this be a valid tainus? So Tysus explanation is that if what happened here was that the person indeed was makabel tainus, the person knew that the day before that he's not going to be eating in the morning. Let's say, for example, he knew he was going for a medical procedure, he's not supposed to eat. So he took upon himself that since I'm not eating the first half of the day, if I choose to complete the day as a tainus, that's the case of our Gemara. So according to Tosfos, there was indeed Kabbalah's tainus. The opinion of Ramban and Meiri is that if, as we've been explaining, the person didn't eat the whole first half of the day, he could make at that point in the morning a Kabbalah's tainus for the afternoon. Another pshat that Tosfos points out that the halacha is that indeed one should preferably make Kabbalah's tainus the day before, but the halacha is that if somebody didn't do Kabbalah's tainus, it's not considered it's not considered as if he didn't fast. Apparently, there are different levels of tainus, and this is not the same level as somebody who was makabel tainus, but it's still considered a valid Kabbalah's tainus. And as we're learning, the issue here is primarily, can he say aneinu? The halacha, I sort of can say that if somebody, in this case, some say that he would not be able to say aneinu, and some say that he could say aneinu because at the end of the day he's fasting the whole day. Opens up a different question. If somebody knows up front that he's not fasting the whole day, can he say aneinu? Here it seems that you can. So, you have to fast all day to be able to say aneinu. And then it says the Gemara v'hem hishlam, and if you fast all day mispal tefilas tainus, you say aneinu. Vilchasop, the next halach is that kakanim of the kachavim, the barrels are made out of earthenware of the kachavim, lach shnei masur chaydish, after they have not been used for 12 months, mitarim, they don't need any hechsher. And the reason is, because whatever absorption, whatever belief there is in that keli, has been completely deteriorated, it's gone. And the last question that was asked, what did Moshe Rabbeinu wear during those 7 days? B'chaluk lovin, a white linen garment. Rav Kahana Masni, b'chaluk lovin, it was a white linen garment, shame by Imra, that didn't have in it any hems. And there are many pshatim this Gemara. The reason Moshe Rabbeinu did not wear regular Big Day Kahuna is because to differentiate that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a regular Kohen Gadol. A regular Kohen Gadol wears the Big Day Kahuna of a Kohen Gadol. He wasn't a regular Kohen Gadol, so he had a different set of garments. Why did not have any hem? So one pshat that he saw is that nobody should accuse him that he might have hidden anything in the hem. But that's a very difficult pshat, because at the point that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we said, was working in the Beis HaMikdash during the Shivas Yimeim, in the Mishkan, during the Shivas Yimeim Eluim, at that point everything was done. There was nothing they could conceal anymore in the hem. So another pshat is that it had to be a brand new garment that was never worn before. And one of the ways you could know that it's not worn before is it didn't have any hem. Another pshat that I saw is that they made it this way because as we're learning, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol only for 7 days. Afterwards, he was not going to be the Kohen Gadol. So when do we make a garment with a hem? The time that we make a garment with a hem is that we want the garment to be usable for quite a while. Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to be using this garment for long term because he was only doing the Avodah for these few days of the Shiva Shmei Meluim. They didn't have to make a garment that would last a long time. The Imri Emes tries to connect the questions that were asked. He says that the halacha is that if you have a keli that was first used for kosher wine and then it was used for non-kosher wine, there's an opinion that says that it doesn't become non-kosher because already has been completely absorbed with the kosher wine. What happened here was that Moshe Rabbeinu worked in the Mishkan for the first 7 days, as we're learning. Once Moshe Rabbeinu worked in the Mishkan for those 7 days, it came to such a level that it had saturated Kedusha. And therefore, whatever happens afterwards, it was only working off that original Kedusha. Another pshat that I saw, the Chasam Sofer says, that the definition of Imra means that normally when you make a garment, you make different parts of the garment and you sew them together. But this garment was made out of one piece. What is the lesson? Explains the Chasam Sofer that the lesson here is that Moshe Rabbeinu, unlike other people, when we speak about most people, their lives is a progression of going from one level, from one madrega to another madrega. Sewing together the different parts brings them into the highest level of Kedusha. Moshe Rabbeinu was already on that level. He didn't have to bring together the different parts. Because he didn't have to bring together the different parts, that's why he had a garment that was made out of one piece. Ramesh Shapiro de Lubliner Rav explains that what made Moshe Rabbeinu great is that Moshe Rabbeinu was the honor mikol adam. And therefore, as the Torah speaks, and we'll be speaking about that now, when the Torah speaks about the Bigde Kahuna, the Torah uses the words L'chavad al-Sfaris. The Bigde Kahuna represent a very high level of glory. But Moshe Rabbeinu was a person who always wanted to avoid glory. He was the most modest person. The Mefarshim say that this is the reason why a chassan under the chuppah, we by the Seder, we by Yom Kippur, we all wear a kittel. A kittel is a white garment. The white garment that we see that Moshe Rabbeinu wore and all what that white garment represents is the same reason that during these important times that we do our Avodah, when we're standing in Shul on Yom Kippur, or when we're sitting at the Seder, or when a chassan is standing on the chuppah, that is all a situation of we're doing Avodah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the way that we could recognize that is by wearing a white garment similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu wore. I actually saw a very interesting minig that in certain communities, the minig was that the somebody who was making a bris would wear a kittel. And the explanation is very beautiful because just like when somebody brings a carbon, when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the carbon, he wore the white garment. When we make a bris for a child, that's what we're doing. Dara Chaim HaKadosh explains, as we said, that when we speak about the Bigde Kahuna, the Pasuk says, Vasisa, we should make the Bigde Kahuna l'kavod ulasferis. Why did they wear different begadim? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu wear different begadim, Bigde Kahuna, than Aaron? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's avoida was a temporary avoida, and his goal wasn't the covetous forest. The goal of Moshe Rabbeinu wearing the Bigde Kahuna was only that it should be there, as we said earlier, to set up the Beis HaMikdash. And for that, you don't need Bigdei Kohuna, but that are L'chavar L'sferos, and that's why a plain white beged is enough. I saw that the Sefer Olos Ephraim explains that a person's life, there are different stages in a person's life. First, when the person is young, then the person becomes mature, and that's the middle age, I guess, and then you have when a person gets older. The Chazal in Masechta Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Beis Amud Aleph teach us that Zikne Tamid Chachamim, as Tamid Chachamim get older, Kozman Shemeskinim, as they get older, Datin Nesotayf Saleim. So even though a person is older already, a Tamid Chachim is still growing in his Avodas Hashem. Those days that a person, the last stage of his life, is called the Yimei HaMeluim. Those are the days where we're completing our mission in this world. And Moshe Rabbeinu, during the Shiva Shmei Meluim, wore a white beged to show us that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he came to this point of his life, he was still big day loving. He was still pure in his Avodas Hashem. He was devoid of any gashmius. And therefore, he wore this white beged that didn't have anything attached to it. There was no imra. There was nothing attached to it. Moshe Rabbeinu, as he came to this point of his life, was showing us that all we have to do in life is grow and avoid Hashem. I saw another pshat from the Ram Shik that the Kohen Gadol has to wear Big Day Kahuna, which are the covered Ulusforis, that is to show the position and to give honor to the position. That's what a Kohen Gadol needs to wear. But Moshe Rabbeinu did not need to wear a Big Day Kahuna to demonstrate how great he was. Everybody knew how great he was. The other reason the Maram Shik says that a Kohen Gadol would wear the Big Day Kahuna is that he says a Kohen Gadol would wear the Big Day Kahuna to get respect from the rest of Klal Yisrael. But that too was not something that Moshe Rabbeinu needed. Everybody in Klal Yisrael already respected Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was able to wear a simple white garment. He did not have to wear Big Day Kahuna. We learned in the Mishnah Chatzana V'Azagim Shalav T'Chavim, the seeds and the skin of the grapes of Oed T'Chavim, Asurin V'Surinus Anod V'Remeah. Ramey's opinion is that they're osur. The chamayrim lachin asurim, if they're moist, they're osur, yveshim maturim. Says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, ha-chatzan v'azagim, when we speak about the chatzan v'azagim of the chavim, lachin asurim, if they're moist, they're osur, yveshim maturim, but if they're dried out, they're mutur. The Yerushalmi points out that whenever we speak about chatzan v'azagim, is we're talking about the seeds that were removed after the grapes were made into wine. But if we remove the seeds before the grape was made into wine, then we don't have a problem because they were never part of the wine and they never absorbed anything from the non-kosher wine. Ask the Gemara, how do we identify moist and how do we identify dry? The first 12 months after the grapes were squeezed, they're still considered lachim, yaveshim, and dries after 12 months. But in this discussion, the many paiskim that suggest that that's only in a situation where we haven't done anything to dry them out. But in a case that we dried them out by heat or whatever, we wouldn't necessarily have to wait 12 months. Itmar, Omar, Rabbi Babachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kshem Asurim, when the Chatzan and Mazagim are in a status that they're Asur, Asur and Afil Bano, you can't even have Ano from them. Kshem Mutarim, and when they're in the status that they're Mutar, Mutar Afil Bechilad, we could even eat them. Amar Avzertra, Haidudaya de Chamra, the sediment at the bottom of the wine of the Ramoy, Basatre Yachashati, after 12 months, the Aloch is that Shari the mutter. But there's a machlokes rishonim, what exactly is meant here? Rabbeinu Ephraim explains that if this halacha, as we just said, of 12 months, doesn't necessarily require 12 months. If we see that they're completely dried out, then they're mutter. The Reir Tam also says that when we're speaking here about the Durdai, we're speaking about the Durdai that really absorbed from the wine. But if they were filtered out immediately and didn't have a chance to absorb from the wine, then it may be mutter. Amar of Chaviva Brei Rava, Hani Gulfi, the earthenware barrels, Basa Trey, that were used for Stam Yenam, then the halacha is Basa Trey Yachashat Shari, then mutter. Then, so what we're learning here in the Gemara, that even though we've spoken in our previous year, that one of the ways of kashering the earthenware barrels of the Nachrim that used for wine is by doing Miri Ve'ilui Gimel Pamim, here we're learning another hetter, and that's 12 months, if they're left empty for 12 months. Amar Rav Chaviva Hani Achsa D'Taya, the flask that the Nachrim use, for they make out of leather, and they travel, and they fill them up with wine as they're traveling. The halacha is basa, if they weren't used for basa tres or yachashata, if they weren't used for 12 months, whatever absorption that is left in there has completely deteriorated, and the halacha is that you can now, that you could use that, you could use those flasks. But of course, if we want to use them before the 12 months, we have to kasher them. Moreover, many Rishonim say that even if after 12 months we want to use them, we do have to, of course, wash them out. Amar Rav Acha Brei D'Ravika, Hani Purtzi D'Armoi, the leftover of the grapes, Bas Trei Yachashati, after 12 months, they're also completely dried up in Shari. Amar Rav Acha Brei D'Rava, Hani Gilfi Shchimi V'Uchmi, these barrels that are made out of earthenware, and they're black, if the wine was put in there for use, Basa Treyach Shate, the halacha is that it's mutter. So in the halacha, when we spoke about the Pratsani Daramoi, the Rajbah says that, again, the Gemara is teaching us that 12 months are mutter, and the Gemara is teaching us that we're following the opinion of the Chachamim, that whenever we speak about these grape products, after 12 months, they become mutter. Says the Gemara Murius. We learned the Murius, which is the fish sauce, and the Gavinus based on Nike of David Chavim, are Osir, Vosir Isur and Nod Divra Meya, the Chama Imrim, Ain Isur and Isur and Nod. That means the question here is, could someone benefit from these products? Of course, we may not eat them, but the question is, could we sell them, for example? Tan Rabbanan, Murius, the Murius of a nachri, of the fish of a nachri, uman, if it was made by a professional, it's mutter. Because the murius that's made out of non-kosher fish will start to rot. And person is not going to use that type of murius. That's not going to be the type of murius that's used. And the other concern is that they're going to put wine into it. But the umin wouldn't put in wine into the murius, because the wine is going to ruin the taste of the murius. Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, I'm Meshumar Chanin ben Gamliel, af chilk umin. If you buy the kosher fish, which is called sutanis, but when they're very small, they don't have fins and scales yet. The fins and scales only develop later. And the Mishnah teaches us on Daf Lamed Tes that the chilk of an oivik chavim is also bechila, because sometimes mixed into those fish, which are kosher, non-kosher fish get mixed up. And Yehuda ben Gamliel is teaching us that a uman is careful to separate out all of the non-kosher fish, because he's concerned that since the non-kosher fish doesn't taste like the kosher fish, the concern is that it's going to ruin the taste of the kosher fish. Tanavim ebrei dravua, Murius, the Murius of the Nachrim, Uman, if it's made by an Uman, Mutter, Hu Tanala, and Avim Abrimi Brei the Rabbevuot taught us this halacha, for Hu Amalai, But he said that this isn't a hard and fast rule. Rather, the Pam Rishon V'Sheni, the first two times it's mutter, Shlishi Asur. But the third time that they try to extract the oil or the fat from the fish, then we have to be machmer. My time, what's the difference between the first time and second time versus the third time? Says Gemar Pam Rishon V'Sheni, the Nafish Menayu, the first two times where they still have a lot of fat in them, there's no need to add wine to it to extract the fat. Afterwards, we have to add wine. So therefore, since the first two times, explains Rashi, we don't need the wine to extract the fat, and all the wine will do will ruin the murius. Therefore, we don't have to be concerned. But it says Rashi, that's only the murius that's made by a woman, the murius that's made by a profession. But if it's not made by a professional, he needs to make his murius taste good, and therefore we have to be concerned even the first or second time. Moreover, the Maram makes a very important point. The Maram makes a point that when do we have to be concerned that they're going to add wine to the murius? That's only in a case where wine is cheaper than murius. So they're going to want to doctor up the murius with wine. But in a place that the wine is more expensive, we don't have to be concerned about that. The Tor has a different explanation. He says that the wine is not used to extract the oil. The Tor says the wine is used to make the murius taste better. And he says the first two times, the murius is already so good tasting, you don't need to add wine to make it taste good. Afterwards, you would. Ha'u arba de murius raisa. There was a ship full of murius, dosel gemela de Akka, that came to the port of Akko, oisav arba de men Akka not about day, and Rav Akka put watch people to make sure that nobody added wine to the murius. Amalei Rava, so Rava asked them, I don't know what you are accomplishing, because Adhidna, while they were being transported by the boat, Manatra, who was watching them, Amalei Adhidna, until they got here, what do we have to be concerned? Nechishlo, what do we have to be concerned about? Imishum de ma'arva b'chamra, if we're going to be concerned that they're adding wine to it, the halacha is kisasa de murius bluma. The murius is bought for zuz, that amount of murius. Kisa de chamra, the wine is bought for arbalumi. So as we just said, nobody's going to use wine which is more expensive to put into the murius. But says the Gemara, maybe this person that was transporting the murius on the boat traveled through Tzor, and there the Shavi Chamra, there the price of wine is equal to the price of murius. The halacha is that nobody is going to travel that way, because since nobody's going to travel that way because it's a dangerous place to travel through, the water is very choppy, etc. And therefore, the halacha is, we don't need to be concerned that that's the way they came and maybe added wine from a place where wine is inexpensive. Tosfos, based on this Gemara, says that we learn from this Gemara a very important halacha, that a nochri is not suspected of mixing a non-kosher ingredient into a Jew's food unless he has something to benefit. Here, and the question would be of a Jew leaving a pot with a good piece of meat in the control of a nochri, who's cooking in his pot inferior meat. As we learned earlier on Daf, we learned earlier in the Masechta, there's a concern that the nochri may switch because he may want to get the good piece of meat and replace it in the Jew's pot with a non-kosher piece of meat. But if that's not the concern, according to Tosfos that we learned on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, we don't have to be suspect that there's going to be a switch. The Marit, however, says that what we learn from our Gemara is that a Nochri is not going to take a financial loss in order to make us do an Aveira. But if there's no financial loss involved, then we already have to be concerned that the Nachri is going to want us to do an Aveira. And therefore, if according to the Marit, if the kosher meat and the non-kosher meat are of equal quality, then the halacha is that we already have to be concerned. Many disagree with the Marit. They say that the only time we have to be concerned is if the Nachri has something to benefit. If he has nothing to benefit, just to make us do an Aveira, but he's not going to gain anything, then we don't have to be concerned. But then the Rosh disagrees with Tosfos. And the Rosh speaks about the case of a maid. He says, let's say you have a maid left over in your home, and she is cooking in her pot non-kosher meat, which is of better quality, and you have cooking in your pot meat of poorer quality. The Rosh says that we always have to be concerned by a maid that she is anxious to make her employers happy, and she may switch the meat, even though she's taking the inferior meat for herself, but she wants to make her employer happy. Or she may add something non-kosher to the kosher pot to make it taste better. And like that, again, her employers will be satisfied with her. Drama paskins like the Rosh, and therefore he says in the case of the maid that we just spoke about, we can't, even if the quality of the maid's food is better than the quality of the Jew's food, we can't leave her alone because of the Rosh's consideration. But the Ma says that we can rely on a Yotze V'Nichnas. That if the person who has his pots here is coming in and out all the time, so the fact that he's coming in and out all the time makes a mirsis, creates a fear in the part of this maid to do something like this because she's worried that she's going to get caught. So as long as you don't tell her that you're coming in and out, then the halacha is that we have room for leniency. Continues the Gemara. Ugvinas beis anaki, the cheese of the beis anaki, asur and v'sur ano. Divrei Rameya, v'cham aimrim ein asur and isur ano. Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, v'nei ma asur ugvinas anaki. Why was Rameya so strict with this cheese? Says the Gemara, v'nei shiroiv ha'golam shalai se'ir. Most of the calf from which they take the rennet to make the cheese, when the shchatim lavadis kachavim, and they, since we followed the rive, and most of the calves were used for avodah zara, as we learned in our previous shiurim, that type of an animal becomes takruvus avodah zara, and takruvus avodah zara is considered israch, is considered like zifrei mesim, which is osu b'hano. Ask the Gemara. But if that's the explanation, my yiriva golem, what do we have to say that most calves are brought that way? I feel me it. Because we know, even just a small percentage, Rameya is the one that holds that we have to be concerned even for meat. Rameya's opinion is stated in Masechet Yevamos, where the Gemara speaks about the Rameya holds a katan v'ktana should not do chalitza yibam. And the reason is, because we have to be concerned that the cotton is maybe a soris, and therefore such an individual doesn't do yibam, the ktan is an islandess. Even though, obviously, most boys and girls are not soris or islandess, Rameyas Choshish Lameyuta, says the Gemara, I Amrit, so why do we have to say Roiv Agolim? Explains the Gemara, I Amrit Roiv, if we're going to say most calves are brought for Avodah Zarah, Ik Amiyat, we have a Miyat that of calves that are not brought for Avodah Zarah. And then we have all other animals that are not used for Avodah Zarah. So, Eli Amrit, Miut, if we're going to say that a minority of the calves, what are we going to have? Kivan Dikar Roiv HaGolem Da'en HaShkatul Vodas Kachavim. Most calves are not. Ika Nami Shabayim Da'en HaShkatul Vodas Kachavim. All other animals are not brought for Avodah Zarah. So we have two reasons to be lenient. Number one, all other animal rennet is not a problem. And even by calf rennet, it's only a miut. And that would create a situation of miut to the miuta. It says the Gemara, even though Rameyer is chayish le miuta, Rameyer is not chayish le miuta de miuta. And since he's not chayish for le miuta, then the halacha is that even Ramey would be lenient. And the fact that he's not, we have to therefore explain, because Roy Vagolim, most calves are brought to Avodah Zarah. Amalei Rav Shimon ben Yochum or Shimon ben Lakish. Kineshchatan levodah chavim may have a, what's the difference if it's brought to Avodah Zarah? V'atu d'shari, you said that they're still mutter. If somebody shechs an animal with the intention to spritz the blood of Avodah Zarah, lahakta al b'levodah chavim, to put the chayil of avodas kachavim, Rabbi Yochanan asur shksaver, he holds mechashma avoda avoda. If when you did an avoda on the animal, you shechted it, you thought about doing a different act, the halacha is that that disqualifies it, because yalpinen chutz mipnim. We know that an animal can become pigle, and an animal can become pigle means that if you did one avoda with the wrong machshava of Shlai Bizmanah, Shlai Mimkaimai, with the intention that you're doing this avoida to do the other avoida, Shlai Bizmanah, Shlai Mimkaimai, it becomes pigle. And therefore, just like that's the halacha by pigle, by kabbanis, so too the halacha by avoida zara. Rish Lakish Amar Meteris. It's mutter, because even though there is this concept by pigle, we don't say that by avoida zara. And therefore, if somebody shechted a behema, they're ultimately going to want to bring for Avodah Zarah. But right now, you didn't bring it for Avodah Zarah. Your goal is ultimately to bring it to Avodah Zarah. So that shouldn't disqualify the animal. That shouldn't make the animal to Zivchei Mesim. Amar lei, terminach shatach. He said, you should have mazel. You should be promoted. What we're talking about here is b'gmaz v'icho avda. The Gemara is saying that this person intends that the shechita itself should be done l'shem avodah zarah. And what the Gemara means to say here is, the Gemara Rashi explains, that the Gemara speaks about what is considered the defining moment of shechita. Now Gemara is explaining that the defining moment of shechita is the Gemar Zvicha, when we finish doing the shechita. And since that's considered the defining moment of the shechita, so he had in mind that during that defining moment of the shechita, the animal should be brought for avodah zarah. So it's not a case that he's doing the shechita with the intention to ultimately use this animal for avodah zarah. The shechita itself is being done for avodah zarah. And since the shechita itself is being done l'shem avodah zarah, that makes that behema, the eagle in our Gemara, considered like avodah zarah. And therefore, we could well understand why the rennet of such an animal is osur, and would make the cheese that's produced from it osur as well.